Hold on. There we go. Good morning. You know that moment when Pastor Sam asked us to acknowledge before the Lord that we need him? It doesn't take long. We know we need, and so we say it fast. What amazes me about the faith is how God responds to that. Almost anything could happen to any one of us in the next half hour as we seek to hear what the Spirit says to the church. So I hope you're attuned as we read the scripture and then hear the word of the Lord spoken to us. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Praise his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him.
The Lord shall watch over your going out and coming in from this time forth forevermore.
Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Love does no harm to its neighbor.
Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven.
Now all together in this, in unison in this great prayer of the church. Ready?
Lord Jesus Christ, you have prepared a quiet place for us in your Father's eternal home.
Watch over our welfare on this perilous journey.
Shade us from the burning heat of day and keep our lives free of evil until the end. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Matthew. A few weeks ago, we began a series on the heart, specifically the heart for God. And what does that look like? And in the first week, Pastor Bo introduced the series by talking about the idea that man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. That's where he sees our true value and worth. And honestly, if there is security footage existing somewhere from the train station of Pastor Bo in his Bermuda shorts and orange sneakers, I don't know what lengths I would go to acquire it. Last week, he continued the series by talking about the need to trust God with our heart, to have a heart devoted to God, and its impact on our actions when a heart is devoted to God. You see, one of the danger zones for believers is this topic of actions, of works, of what we do, right? Because God calls us to have a heart devoted to him, and a heart given to God, transformed by God, is naturally going to result in certain works and actions. But at the same time, that's so undefinable in some ways, right? We as humans love to have checklists, very defined, measurable goals and things to do, right? And wouldn't it be so much easier if to be a good Christian, to be a good follower of God, you just had to do this, 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 and this, you could check them off and know for sure. And so we gravitate towards these checklists. But the challenge that we're seeing over and over in this series is that we don't do the works to be in love with God. We fall in love with God, and out of that love, it naturally results in these actions. Let me put it a different way. It's football season. Next week, the big game. This is particularly exciting for my relatives because I grew up in Washington State and New England, right? So everyone I'm related to is happy about this year's Super Bowl one way or the other. Not so much you guys. I'm in the wrong part of the country for this illustration, apparently. In the late 90s, I was going to Gordon College, which is 20 minutes outside of Boston. And the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl. Again, I mean, that's just what they do a lot. And there's one every hour. And they were going up against the Packers. Now, for the Gordon campus, this was a party. 90% of the student body, diehard Patriot fans. This was glorious news. But Mike Holmgren, the head coach of the Packers, his daughter was one of our fellow students at Gordon. And it was amazing to me because word got around very quickly, she's going to the Super Bowl. And this fantasy developed for many of my male fellow students, not me, of course. And you would see these guys, diehard Patriot fans, she would walk in the room, suddenly they were Packers fans, living the dream that she would fall in love with them and take them to the Super Bowl a week later, right? It's pathetic. And totally transparent, right? Like nobody fell for it for a moment. Nobody looked at them and thought, yes, that is a diehard, lifelong, committed Packers fan, right? Because a true fan does not memorize the stats and wear the jersey and know the history and the game and the names of the coaches and the players and their life stories and all of that because that's what you have to do to be a fan. A fan does that because they love the team. And out of that love for the team, they just love learning more about it. All of that other stuff results out of the love for the team. Which brings us to Deuteronomy. Because instinctively, we know love is more than just a word. There's a lot more packed into it. And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. It was written by Moses about 3,400 years ago, right? And the original title in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, literally meant, these are the words. It was kind of Moses' last words at the end of his life to the Jewish people. And he's going over the fundamentals of, this is how you follow God. This is how you love God. This is how you worship God. We look at Deuteronomy, and we think of it as a book of the law. And yet, this passage that we're going to look at today, over and over is repeated throughout Deuteronomy, to love God with all that we are. We think of the law, usually, in a very black and white legal type definition, right? The legalities of speeding and tickets and the police and trespassing and stealing. And law is very much tied up with civil obedience or disobedience. For us. For the Jewish believer, the law was more about defining their relationship with God. This is how they worshiped God. So there was a different feeling evoked when the word law was used. There was a different reaction to it. The passage we're going to look at, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, is kind of the key passage for the Jewish person. In fact, even to this day, religiously devout Jews will pray this passage twice a day as part of their worship, as part of their coming to God. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." It's a fascinating thing with words, right? Because they can mean different things to different people, and especially when we take into consideration that we're reading something written 3,400 years ago in a language that, in its form then, is certainly no longer existing, and it gets translated, but sometimes we don't get the full sense of it, right? Like, for example, in many of the biblical languages, there were many words for love. And each of these different words for love would convey different types of love. So you could understand exactly. And yet in English, we have a word for love, right? Like I use the word love to talk about my children. I love my children. And none of you would be surprised to understand that that love means if our house was on fire, of course, I wouldn't hesitate to rush in and risk my life to save one of my children. Right? Like, we get that, of course, that kind of love, parental for a child. But I also love seven-layer burritos from Taco Bell. Right? But none of you thinks when I say that, that if the Taco Bell started on fire across the street, I'm running in to save the burritos, right? Like, we get that I'm using the same word. Tim's not so sure. Thanks, man. We get the same word has very different applications and different meanings. Well, this word love used in Deuteronomy 6:5 is a very specific type of love. It's a covenant type of love. What's a covenant? A covenant is a deep binding relationship, a marriage type of love. This kind of covenant binding that is not supposed to end, that is deep, that has a lot to it. He goes on to write exactly what he means by loving God. He says, love your God with all your heart. This word heart that he used in the Hebrew encompasses kind of the seat of emotions, right? We get that. We use heart in that way a lot, but it would have also been understood to also include kind of the seat of the will, the mind, the thought, kind of your innermost being. So Moses is writing, he's saying, love the Lord your God in a covenantal way with all of your innermost being. And then what gets translated here, with all your soul, was originally written with all your gullet, your throat, your gullet, love God, which you're looking as confused as I was when I learned that. It was a metaphor, right? And for the Jewish person, that metaphor, they would have very clearly understood that that's saying all of your life, all of your appetites, your desires, your thoughts, your direction, all that is your life. And so Moses is saying, love God with all of your inner being. Love God with all of your life. And then he says, with all your strength. Strength was literally power, right? And this is why I'm making a big deal about the words that he chose here, because this is one of those times where the intent got obscured a little bit by the translation. Because that word that is translated strength, that literally meant power, would have been used, would have been understood as resources. Love God with all that you have. Resources could be your work, right? It could be your social influence with people around you. It could be your property, your home, your wealth, whatever it is, all of these material things around us, right? All of our influence, all of our power, we're to love God with. And so the picture, it starts to become very clear that what Moses is calling them to is this ever-increasing depth of love, that it's a love that begins within our innermost being, spreads out into all of our life, even to the point of all of our resources, all of our influence, all that we have that can be used for God's glory in expressing our love to Him. It becomes slightly overwhelming. And there's a little bit of a reaction of, is this just part of the Old Testament law? Is this something that isn't even applicable to us anymore? Mark chapter 12, verse 28. If you want to flip there, Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is interacting with a group of people And it reads, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Almost word for word. Jesus is saying this same principle is very much relevant. It's the most important one, to love God with all that we are. What does that even look like? Right? How do we even connect to that? About 10 years ago, I read an article. It made the national news about a man on the West Coast who had a successful trucking business. He had a couple dozen trucks working under him, employees, a successful company. It was doing well. It consumed a lot of time. But the reason it made the news is his wife had given him an ultimatum. The business or me? And a lot of people had the same reaction that I kind of did when I initially read it of, what? Like, how dare she? He's worked hard. He's built up this thing, right? And so a lot of the pushback to this story were people going, he needs to tell her. She can't give him ultimatums. You know, people are going, that guy needs to lawyer up and get ready, right? Like, all of these reactions were skewing that way. But the reason the story made the news is the guy was mystified that people saw it that way. His reaction when he got the ultimatum was to immediately put the business up for sale. And he didn't even resent it. Part of his reaction to people, you know, he said, yes, he loved his business. He had worked hard to build it. It was a lot of what he was. But he had this covenantal relationship with his wife. He said, of the two things, that was more valuable. And this was getting in the way of that, which makes the business expendable. Right? And it was challenging for me to read this and go, wow, now there is a guy who was loving this relationship, not only loving his wife, not only with all of his heart and all of his person, but with all of his power, all of his resources, all of his life was committed to this relationship. All of our heart means not letting things get in the way. The question today is, do you love God with all your heart, soul, and strength? If the answer is no, what is it that's getting in the way? My guess is that something might have popped into your mind. That you've identified something in that moment, something that gets in the way of that love with God. It could be an addiction, a bad habit, a job, a friendship that pulls you away, a questionable relationship, something good that takes up too much focus and time. That thing you hate yourself for doing, but you find yourself going back to over and over. Maybe it's a different direction. Maybe it's that you need to serve. Maybe it's that you need to use your strength or your resources, whether it's financially, your time, or your influence for God, and you're not. Right? Because it can be scary. It can be overwhelming to live out this kind of love for God. It goes against our human nature. It goes against our culture. And yet, We were designed for a relationship with God. We were created for a perfect relationship with God. And it's interrupted by sin, by these other things that cut off this relationship that we were designed to have. But when that's in place, when we have followed Christ, when we have this kind of love, there is a joy, there is a peace, there is a sense of purpose and direction. Even when things around us can be falling apart, that is incredible to experience. I mean, isn't that the type of life that we want? One with that kind of peace and joy and blessing, to have that sense of purpose, that we are living for what we were designed to be? One of the challenges for us when we read this kind of passage is our natural tendency is to be overwhelmed by it. That is too much, right? Like, I can't flip that switch and be this person loving God 100% with all my heart, all my life, all of my power, all of my strength overnight. And we become overwhelmed, intimidated, and back off, when in reality, it's one step at a time. Whatever that thing is that pops into your mind, that's the thing that God is guiding you to next. That is the thing to deal with. And that's hard, right? So often we come to church and we might get convicted about something. We hear a message and it resonates and we go, oh, we feel bad. I need to do something about that. And then we walk away and we feel like we've accomplished something because we've identified it. We'll deal with it later, one step at a time, right? But that's not what God is calling us for. God is calling us to reach out to Him once we've identified these areas that are holding us back in our relationship with Him, to deal with them then, whether that means working up the courage to reach out to another believer and go, I need help with this thing. Whether it's, you know, realizing you've been holding back in some way of serving or giving of your power and going, I need to talk to somebody and offer myself this way for God. Whatever it is, following through on it. I'm reminded whenever I interact with these kinds of passages of the man in Mark chapter 9. It was a man, his son, his child, he was asking for Jesus to heal him, and Jesus says, if you believe, it's possible. And the man's reply, it's my favorite, most honest reply in all of the Bible. Verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Like, I used to read that and go, you do believe, but you don't believe? Like, you just kind of... But don't we resonate with that, right? Because we read these passages and go, I do love God, but I have a lack of love. And to me, I read this passage and go, that's our prayer. To pray to God, God, I want to love you with all that I am, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. Lord, help me with my lack of love. And allow Him to begin working in your life, to work towards that. Let that be our prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you teach us and all that you do. And God, we ask that you would help us to be people with this kind of love for you, with all of our heart, with all of who we are, with all of our strength and influence and power and resource. God, we want to be that type of follower of you, and we ask that you would help us to do that. Help us with our lack of love. In your name, amen.